The Songbird Girls, written by Richard Parker and read by David John.
Chapter 1. Parents' Meeting. Horror. Polly had highlighted the date with a green luminous marker on her kitchen calendar the day she'd been given it, and had counted down the days since the beginning of the week. She'd missed the last one, and the guilt and shame had been magnified by the stiff letter she'd had from Logan's form tutor, informing her just how compunctious she should have been. But there were so many dates to log at the beginning of each term. Sports extension evenings, choir rehearsals, outings, inset days. And Polly miraculously fitted her dog-walking business around every one of them. She'd been determined not to miss the next parents' meeting, however. Had ensured she had only one client booking early that afternoon, and that she had plenty of time to drive to St. Jude's. But her smugness had evaporated after a bus had broken down on Garrett Lane. And she'd spent an hour crawling through Earlsfield, willing the traffic on and anticipating the disapproving faces that would be waiting to greet her in the assembly hall. The clock on the dash seemed to have moved on a minute every time she looked at it, as she perched on the edge of her seat, willing the cars ahead to surge forward. This was the only route she could take, so she had no choice but to sit and wait. It was Halloween. The kids were having a party first. Maybe that would run over. She took out her mobile. Phone ahead. Let them know what was going on. Other parents would be having the same issue. She was about to dial when the traffic rolled forward and she had to accelerate to keep up. Was it about to stall again? But the cars kept moving, and soon she was swerving around the offending double-decker and picking up speed towards the primary school. Minutes later, she turned right at the red-brick facade of St. Jude's. Pumpkins glowed in the hall window. Polly readied herself for the next gauntlet, finding a parking space. This was difficult enough on any day at 3 p.m, but as the building next door was being renovated behind polythene sheeting and there were several skips positioned in the bay, usually clogged up with parents' off-road vehicles, it was going to be even more of a free-for-all than usual. But she had one advantage, a Golf. And Polly had learned to fit into the tightest spaces. She surged to the end of the road and spied a space at the end just in front of the entrance to the railway bridge steps. Shit. It was excruciatingly too small. Then she acknowledged that there was somebody sitting inside the blue Toyota SUV in front of the space. It was a male with broad shoulders, and her blood boiled as she noted his car had a large gap in front of it and that his vehicle was taking up two spaces. Polly beeped her horn. The man didn't even turn around. She honked again and watched his head tilt up to his mirror. He didn't appear in any hurry to move, though. Polly was about to blast the horn again when his engine started and he leisurely rolled his Toyota forward. But he still left himself plenty of space at the front, which meant she had to carefully manoeuvre her Golf up to his bumper and almost scrape hers on the bollard behind her. Moron! But it was 3:08, and she had no time to waste. He got out of his car the same time as her, and didn't even turn back. Was he one of the parents? She didn't recognise him from the rear. He strode off in the direction of the high street, and she followed, determined to make it into the hall before 10 past and join the queue for Mr. Appleton. Maybe she'd throw a remark at the space hogger on her way past.